Hello, everybody. This Sunday, we were, it took us about a year to figure out how to share sound and also the screen. It took us a year. Well, but thank God for Hubert. You figured it out so that you'll be able to read the lyrics and worship together. Thank you, Hubert. Thank you. We're gonna continue the series on the right battle. And the main text for the last 3 weeks been Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. This is the Right Battle series, and again, this the main text, Ephesians 6:12, instructs each one of us as a Christian to fight the right battle. It's not with flesh and blood. It's not with human beings. It's not with your family member. It's not with the church, the people in the church, but it's a spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. And I mentioned again and again, that heavenly realm, that spiritual realm is a realm that we cannot see. Last week, I talked about Revelations 12, where the Bible says the devil deceives the whole world. And Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, he warns us that the devil is a liar and a father of lies. Now, if somebody came to you and told you that they're going to lie to you, that lie has no power, or the deception. Lies and deceptions cannot happen in the open. So the Bible here is describing that the schemes of the devil is unseen, it is hidden. And so part one, the hidden scheme, the hidden skirmish, the spiritual battle happens inside of us. That's one of the spiritual realm. The battle, spiritual battle happens in our thoughts, in our emotion, in our will, is an attack on our soul, on our heart. And then part two, the focus was our struggle is not with flesh and blood. The real spiritual battle is not with people, but spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. And so last Sunday, I focused on relationship in the church and relationship in the family, the hidden battle that tries to break relationship in the church and family. Now, part three, this part three, I want to focus on fighting discouragement. Focus on fighting discouragement. You hear a good sermon, there's a conviction from the Bible, you want to change, you want to do better, and you're excited and you're challenged. And so you make a commitment to change. You write down all the things that you're going to do. You say to yourself, it's going to be different from now on. It's going to be different. A few days later, what happens? There's failure. You do the very thing that you were not going to do and don't do the very things that you were going to do. When that happens, it's not a time to beat yourself up. That is the wrong battle. Okay? When that happens, it's not a time to beat yourself up. This is the wrong battle. When you fail, look at the hidden spiritual battle. When we fail, when we see our weakness, the devil will come. This is the real battle. Okay, when we fail, the devil will come, condemn, shame you, and fill you with guilt. Why? He wants us to get to that place of discouragement. He wants to discourage you. The devil used failure to shame, condemn, and fill you with guilt. Then you fall into discouragement. And once you fall into discouragement, it will stop you from changing, it will stop you from growing, it will stop you from your calling. God allows failures in our life. He allows it because, in my opinion, is because failure is part of how you grow spiritually. You know, when I look at my life, it's not through success that I change, but I change most in my failures. God knows that you're going to fail. You know, God knew that the disciples were going to run away. God knew that Peter was going to, you know, not, very specifically, God knew, you're going to deny me three times. Okay. Now, he didn't say, I think you're going to deny me three times. He says, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter denied him three times. Adam and Eve, he knew that Adam and Eve was going to fall. Why? Because when they fell, okay, when they fell, they brought sin into the whole world, the fall. God had a plan. God looked for Adam and Eve. And what did he do? He clothed them. But to clothe them, to cover them, he had to kill an animal. And what God was saying in the garden from the beginning, the moment that Adam and Eve fell, God's saying, I have a plan. That sacrifice of an animal was pointing, in the Old Testament, is pointing to Jesus. He will cover you. He will cover your sin. You know, the encouragement is we become so hard on ourselves when we fail. We fight the wrong battle. We beat ourselves up. But God is supremely confident when we fail. Can we kind of say that together? God is supremely confident when we fail. His disciples failed time and time again. He didn't get a new set of disciples, but Jesus redeemed their failure. This is the good news. God uses our failure. God moves in our failure. God redeems failure. I want to talk about, you know, the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, the city wall, the Jerusalem walls were torn down. And God calls his people in the book of Nehemiah to rebuild the city wall. The rebuilding of the wall was God's, in my opinion, it was God's act of restoration. Okay? Restoration of God's people back to their homeland, restoration of their identity, restoration of their calling, restoration of right relationship with God and with one another. See, back then, a city without a wall was very vulnerable to attack, to constant attack, you know, and the enemy could come in and steal, destroy, kill, like the devil, okay, like our enemy. So the wall was needed for protection. The wall was needed to live. The wall was needed to work. The wall was needed to flourish. But in the book of Nehemiah, as God's people built the city wall, there were oppositions. There was spiritual attacks. You know, there was so much opposition that the Bible says God's people, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, the strength of the laborer is giving out. And there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. There's so much rubble. Okay? They only saw the rubble, meaning they were discouraged. See, when you only could see the rubble, you are in discouragement. The focus was not on the calling to rebuild, but the rubble. And when we only see the rubble, you're in discouragement. What made the people of God focus on the rubble instead of God's restoration? We see in that chapter, Nehemiah chapter 4, there were two men named Sanballat and Tobiah. Sanballat and Tobiah. They were the enemy of God's people, and they did everything they can to stop God's people from rebuilding the wall. And when you look at what they said, it's a voice, what the devil would tell us, right? This is what they said. What are those feeble Jews doing? Would they restore their wall? Would they offer sacrifices? Would they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And then verse 3 is, Tobiah says, what they are building, even a fox climbing on it, up on it, would break their walls of stone. The arrows that is hitting you have a voice. It has a voice. It's a voice of condemnation, voice of shame, voice of guilt. It says to you, you can't do it. You are a failure. Nobody cares about you. You are all alone. You make just too many mistakes. You tried before and you have consistently failed. You will not be able to overcome this. God, is mad at you. He doesn't care about you. There's no hope. Just give up. And when this arrows hit you day after day after day, it does take a toll on us. It shakes us. It shakes, old issues. It comes to the surface, our father issues, our mother issues, authority issues are triggered, old memories, old rejections, old shame, old failures. So much rubble, we cannot rebuild the wall. When it says our battle is not flesh and blood, last summer, last Sunday, I talked about our battle is not with people in the church. Our battle is not people in our family. But there's one other person that you should not battle. I believe it's included with flesh and blood. And that is with yourself. Okay? That is with yourself. Enemy uses conflict, division, bitterness, lies. That's the battle we gotta fight. And the enemy use conflict, division, bitterness, and lies to break our relationship in the church, to break our relationship with our family. Enemy has a different weapon for yourself. The enemy uses condemnation, shame, and guilt to break you. To break you. So I got 3 points. Again, 3 points to overcome discouragement. Number one, don't give up. Okay? So speak that out. Don't give up. Say, I'm not going to give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Okay? If you could turn to it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. Okay? We will reap. Farmer, that's the language I feel like that's being portrayed right here. It's like a farmer, plowing, putting the seed, watering, and taking care, and there's nothing growing. Okay, it could get pretty discouraging day after day. You don't see much, right? But it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If there's a condition here, if we do not give up, if we do not give up. This verse says, let us not grow weary of doing good. In other words, don't get discouraged. In God's time, there will be reaping. There will be a harvest if we do not give up. Okay? This is what the Lord is saying to us. We need to hear what the Lord is saying to us, not what the devil. You could discern the voice of the devil. The voice of the devil says, give up. There's no hope. Okay? I just give up. But God is telling us, the body of Jesus Christ, He's telling you, don't give up. Don't give up. This discouragement we face can be quite debilitating, so overwhelming that you don't know what to think, what to believe, what to care about. And but the truth is this, there's, you know, before we were born and after we pass away, there always has been bad. You know, it is nothing new. There always has been conflict. There always has been brokenness. The devil from the beginning, you know, why from the beginning? In the garden, been attacking us, lying to us, stealing from us, destroying. But because of the bad, you know, you can give up trying. You can give up hoping. You can give up caring. You can give up believing. You could become weary of doing good. But what does the Bible tells us to do when we are discouraged? It doesn't say work harder. It doesn't say get the right information. It says don't give up. Don't give up. The devil is not that creative. He uses the same temptations and lies to make you give up, to make you discouraged. The devil comes to you and me with the same lies, same conflict, same condemnation. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Become weary of doing good? Become discouraged? My challenge to you and my challenge to myself, no. Let's make up our mind today. Let's make up our mind together. I am not going to give up. I am not going to battle flesh and blood. I am not going to beat myself up. I'm going to fight discouragement. That's the battle we got to fight. Let's fight this discouragement, the hidden schemes and attack and lies of the enemy. And the church said, amen. Number two. Yeah. I don't know how many times I told you this, but don't forget God's love. Number two, don't forget God's love. You heard this many, many times. God loves you. Right? God loves you. If you want to be immune to discouragement, you must constantly keep this truth in focus. Never forget God loves you. Everything good in life flows out of the love of God. How do I know that? Because that's the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is to love. And when you look at, this is interesting, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 is a chapter on love, right? It says this, and now these three remains, right? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Okay? Greatest of these is love. Now, faith and hope, oh, they are such important and powerful weapon against discouragement. I mean, if you don't have faith, if you don't have hope, but faith and hope is such a powerful weapon against discouragement. But what the Bible says is love is greater. Okay? Love is greater. You have heard this truth again and again, that God loves you. But I want to challenge you, you know, the question that I ask, do you feel it? You know, when I first became Christian, they said, feeling is the last thing, you know, it's not that important, you know. But what do I mean when I say, do you feel it? Is God's love just information to you? But does it touch you? Do you feel it? Does it move you? Do you feel it? Does it lift you up? Do you feel it? Does it encourage you? Does it change you? You know, when you get discouraged, it is God's love that will keep you going. Think about the family. You know, love is so important in the family. The greatest discouragement in family comes because you don't feel love in the family. The lack of love from your father, mother, spouse, or sibling, the lack of love in the family can become, because love is lacking, one of the greatest issue in the family, one of the greatest pain, one of the greatest rejection. In other words, when there's no love in the family, it is the greatest discouragement in the family. You feel the love of God because it's not based on performance. God knows every mistake I made. God knows every mistake I will make in my life. And yet, he still created me. He still went to the cross for me. He's still working in me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. God knows every sin I committed, will commit in my life. And I proclaim this, and he still loves me. He still loves me. You know, I don't know, just lately I've been sharing, you know, I've been sharing about my childhood brokenness, rejection, abandonment, neglect. And when I share those things, I should be discouraged. I should be discouraged, you know. But I am not. Why? I know that God loves me. I know that he loves me. Number three. Okay, number three. Be honest about your weakness. Okay. Be honest about your weakness. You know, when I was young and very foolish, I didn't think I had weaknesses. You know, I was just so deceived. You know, I didn't think I had weaknesses. But as I got older, you know, I saw my weaknesses. And what did I do with my weaknesses? I denied them. You know, I tried to cover it up with performance, with ministry, you know, with good grades, which I, anyway, I don't want to go into that. Good grades and, you know, and so because I tried to deny them and cover it up, I fell into discouragement, you know. And so that didn't work. So what did I do next? I tried to hide them. I tried to hide my weaknesses. And that didn't work either. I became discouraged because more I try to hide it, my weakness would leak out. And so, you know, I try to rationalize it. I try to excuse them, you know, and it didn't work. I became discouraged. Other people, when they, you know, God shines the light on our weakness, and God does that because he loves us, you know. There's things that I don't want to confront about different people. I see their weakness. I don't want to confront them because it's hard. It's really difficult, right? But not God, because he loves us. He shines his light on our weakness. And when people see their weakness, that, you know, they get mad. They get mad at other people instead of, you know, doing what God is doing, shining the light on their weakness, they shine the light on other people's weakness. Look at this person. Look at you. You know, they blame shift. And time again, what I see, people who do that, they fall into discouragement. Okay, discouragement. As I mature, I am learning this. It took me a long time. I'm still learning. I still got a lot to learn. I am learning to accept my weakness, to try to be honest with my weakness. And more, you know, I feel God is helping me as I do that with my weaknesses. Before, when I felt weak, I would pray less, read the Bible less, get depressed, get discouraged. Now, as I am honest, more honest, trying to be more honest with my weakness. You know what's going on? I'm fasting more. I'm praying more. You know, I hear the Lord more clearly. I am more dependent on the Lord. I am getting more and more connected to the Lord. Why would God allow you to, you know, go through weakness and feel weak? You see, when weak, when you are not honest about your weakness, you open yourself up to spiritual attack. You feel the shame, you feel the guilt. And so what do? You know, you hide it. And when you do that, eventually you'll fall into deep discouragement. When you're honest about yourself, God comes to you. God comes to you. I want to say that again. When you are honest about yourself, God comes to you. When the prodigal son was finally honest about himself, the father ran to him, looked for him every day, and when he saw him, he ran to him. This is the reason, you know, and I appreciate the prayer that Simon prayed, you know, it was that honesty. This is the reason David is so honest about his weakness in the book of Psalms. He is not complaining like God's people in the wilderness. He is being honest with God about his weakness. What did David find out about God? That when you read the psalm, he is so honest about weakness, about his lack of faith, or even, you know, just, God, why are you doing this? You know, I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm confused. You know, why? Because David learned God comes to him in his weakness. That's what he learned. David learned God comes to him in his weakness. When discouraged, there are two spiritual kingdoms trying to influence you. When you're discouraged, the devil will make you focus on things that will hurt you. They will steal from you. They will keep you in bondage. Will make you focus on things that's addiction. That's just, you know, like aspirin, you know, that will cover your discouragement, but doesn't deal with the discouragement. It makes you drink. It makes you just watch movies and videos. Make you eat junk food. Make you stuck in discouragement. God wants to do something new in you and me. God wants to transform you in your weakness so you can overcome discouragement. When weak, the enemy comes in and offers you things that will keep you in bondage. The Lord comes in and offers you comfort, healing, freedom, and new life. The devil uses your failure to condemn, shame, and make you feel guilty. God turns your failure into forgiveness, cleansing, redemption, and renewal. The devil uses hurt people to hurt more people. God can use hurt people to heal people and help people. So the very thing that you hate the most, when you're discouraged, when you see rubbles, God wants to come in, touch, redeem, renew, and anoint you. And God's people said, amen.